This is the second message in our series as we look towards our healing event coming up January 6, 2019, where God has spoken that He desires to heal His handmaidens at Faith Harvest. This is the will of God for us, and I believe that God spoke this to me, and so as He is revealing these things to me, building my faith and encouraging me, this is to build your faith and to encourage you. And so, God, we come and we thank you. We thank you, God, that you have not changed, that you have not just left healing to the physicians in the land, God, but that you, God, are still the one who heals, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and for this, God, open our eyes to see, Lord. Increase my faith as I continue, Lord, to sit before you. Increase the faith of those who would listen to this, God, and to know, God, that you have not left them nor forsaken them. You've not hidden your face, and that your power for healing is available today. In Jesus' name, amen. I am going to read John chapter 9, and I'll read the entire chapter, and we'll go from there. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with this saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, Is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, How were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then he said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, What do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Now, this is the title that I'm calling this. It's, "Why Was I Born This Way?" And that's how we're going to approach this scripture, as to why was I born this way. You may be asking this very question: why was I born with this particular handicap, with this sickness? Why was my child born with this handicap or sickness? First, we must remember we live in a fallen world. God sent his son Jesus into the world to redeem a man from his sin first. For 3 years, Jesus taught, he healed, he cast out demons, and he raised the dead, doing the works of God. He said, this testifies to who I am. I am the Son of God. And he said, I am doing the works of God. These are all the works that God does. Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but the works of my Father in heaven, that you might know that we are one. Listen, God has authority over the elements. He could command the wind and the waves. He has authority over demons and sickness and death. He has authority over the entire universe. He is the Creator God. And so Jesus is saying, I have authority also, not usurped authority, but authority that has been given to me. I've been given all authority, and everything I'm doing is what God does. He said, I have authority over the elements, over the demons, over sickness, over death, over the entire world, the universe, Creator God. His death on the cross is the payment for our sin. But you know what? When he died on the cross, that was him laying his life down. When they put him in the tomb, his rising from the grave reveals that he alone has the authority to answer us. He reigns on the throne of heaven. He is sitting at the right hand of power. He is the one. Here in John 9, we have a man who was born blind. And upon leaving the temple, Jesus and his disciples passed by this man. Now, this man most likely was placed here every day to beg. And that means that he was not able to work and support himself, and his family was too poor to support their blind son. So his way of supporting himself was to sit there as the people would go in and out of the temple and to beg and to receive, you know, whatever they would give. Day after day, year after year, because we know, we just read that he is a man of age. And so he's not just a little boy, he's not a teenager, but he is an adult male. And so he's been doing this for years and years and years. And people have been passing by. The Pharisees saw him, the Sadducees saw him, his neighbors where he grew up, those going in and out of the temple, they saw him, they knew who he was. But right now, his life is about to change. The life that he's been living for all these years is about to change. Listen, when Jesus passes by, your life changes. When Jesus comes to us, our life changes. This man, most likely growing up, as a child, and you know, it's not recorded here, but it says that he was born from blind from birth. And the Jews tended to believe that either your parents sinned, and how could a person sin in the womb, but they believed that they could sin in the womb. That sin was the only reason that a person could be sick. It had to be sin on his parents' part or on his part. But just imagine, as a child, he probably looked up at his mom and he said, or he just looked straight out, but he said, Mommy, why am I blind? And his parents may have asked each other, why is our son blind? Are you sure there's no sin in you? Maybe the grandparents ask, why is our grandson blind? His extended family, the friends, the neighbors, why is he blind? The stigmatism that was attached to this, that this man was born blind, all of his life growing up and the family and just the stigmatism that was attached to them, that it had to be because of sin that he was blind. Was there sin in our life? Did they ask one another that? Is God punishing this family? There must be sin. Listen, this is the exact same questions that the disciples ask Jesus as they look at him. They're standing up here. They've passed by this man more than once. Maybe they've given him a few coins and never gave it a second thought. But walking out with Jesus as he has been in the temple and declared himself to be the light of the world, and they were going to stone him, and he was able to get away from them. He just passed through the midst of them. And so they're standing here, and so now they want to have a theological conversation with him also. Listen, our healing event that Jesus is calling us to is not a time to have a theological debate. It is a time to come and to believe. To believe, listen, when Jesus is calling you, when he wants to meet with you, it is because he is about to change your life forever. He is about to change your circumstances forever. He doesn't just walk by you and ignore you. And so, and he has not called a time to meet with us, then to ignore us. Can you just imagine that you're sitting there blind, and that they're talking over you, having this conversation? Oh, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And they knew, so it was the talk all around him that this is the way he had been from birth. It was no mistaking, but that's how he had been. And so maybe you're asking the very same question. Maybe you're asking these questions. Maybe others have posed these questions to you. Are you leading a sinful life? Do you have secret sin? Is that why that you were born with this? Is that why that you are stuck in this and that there's no healing for you? Is that why? You know what? Do not resign yourself to sitting on the side of the road begging for any amount of sympathy that you can get. And that's really what he was doing. He was begging for sympathy for his state of being and where he was and his station of life. That he was begging for their sympathy, and it was rewarded to him in money. Know this, because of the sin of Adam, these things are in the world. Sickness and death is in the world. Cancer is in the earth today because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Blindness, handicaps, birth defects, all of these things, diabetes, all of these things are because of the sin of Adam that brought them into the world. Listen, evil, listen to me clearly, evil furthers the work of God in the world. It is in conquering and abolishing the evil that he is revealed. God wants to work in and through all of this. He reveals his compassion on us through the midst of all of the suffering and these things. The question for us is not where suffering has come from, but what are we to do with it? So you're here. You're preparing to be there January 6th. All of the suffering, and I know some of you ladies who have dealt with these issues for decades. You've dealt with doctors. Some are just weary in going to doctors. And some of it is just being able to lift our head. It's not just the sickness in our body, but it's just being able to lift our head. Some of us have just decided, you know, well, it's not for today. It's not for me. He's not listening to me. He is listening to you. His desire is that whatever is going on in you, what the devil means for evil, is that God would turn that for your good and for His glory, that He would receive glory in this. In this written account of this man, Jesus came to him and He allowed the question and explains, this is for revealing the work of God in him, that God's going to get the glory. He was there for the glory of God. This blind man at this very time, this very moment in history, his encounter with Jesus the Christ of Nazareth was for this very moment for the glory of God. Jesus came to him and allowed the questions, and he explains why. He was there for the glory of God. God had need of this man. Oh my goodness, do I ever think that in the midst of my suffering that God has need of me? His life has purpose. You may be thinking, he's just a poor blind beggar. What is the purpose of his life? That at this very moment that we are reading, that it is recorded, it is actually happening in a place, in time, and to an actual person, and it is witnessed, and it is recorded for our admonition, for our faith building. There was purpose in this man's life. Do you think God only has need of the healthy and the wealthy that he might receive glory, that he can't touch and heal a body? Listen, he heals this man who was born blind. It says that his eyes were shut. Was he born where his eyes would not open? Some think that maybe he did not have his eyeballs. I don't know. I know it says that his eyes were opened and he could see. Does that mean that they were closed? Could not open them, which created the blindness? I don't know. I don't have to explain it. The only thing I have to say is that God healed him. Jesus healed him at that very moment. His life had purpose. God had a plan for him. God had need for him. And the question for us is not why, but what do you need me for? When we come together on January 6th, what does God have need for of the women of Faith Harvest? What is the purpose in us coming together for this healing event? It is that God may be glorified, that He may receive the testimony of the saints declaring and worshiping Him. Listen, and you will see as you read this that no one is coming to believe in Jesus because of what happened, except the man that it happened to, his faith. And surely it should have strengthened the disciples' faith, but we can't see that his parents came. They were afraid of being kicked out. We see that his neighbors brought him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but we don't see where they accepted it. We don't see where the Pharisees accepted it. A man that was born blind sees, but that miracle does nothing. Listen, that miracle is for the glory of God. It's like the depth, the very deepest part of the ocean that you cannot see, and all of the fish that are swimming around in there that you cannot see, you cannot touch. It's the outer limits of the heavens with the stars and the constellations and all of the beauty and the glory of that. It's for God's eyes only. He created it gloriously, and we are created gloriously. And these things that the devil has meant for evil, God uses that. He uses that for His glory. It is for a testimony. What can God do in this? Listen, some of you listening to me need a physical healing. Some of you who are listening, you need a broken heart healed. Some of you need a relationship restored and healed. Listen, no matter what your need is, God is our healer. He is the one that we come to. We come in the name of Jesus. We believe, and like we talked about in the message before, we're not afraid. It's not my reputation. I'm not concerned about it. I'm not taking a step of faith and saying, oh, I hope Jesus comes through. It is up to Him. It is His name. It is His glory. And it is His doing, His will. And so what have I risked by saying this? I've not risked anything. It is all for Him, for this time, for this purpose. And it is to reveal. I am believing Him for healing for myself. Jesus is the answer for us. How many times have you been passed by? How many times have you been questioned about this very thing? Oh, why do you suffer? It must be because there is great sin in your life. Jesus is not asking these questions. He is healing. Jesus spits. He takes the own spit from His own mouth. And He spits it on the ground, the very clay that He created. And now He makes it a paste and He puts it on the man's eyes. And He said, now go to the pool of Siloam. Go and wash your eyes. This man could have resisted. He could have said, what are you? No, you're not putting your spit on my face. No, I'm not going. I can't see. I don't know where to go. How am I going to go? No, he just stands there. He lets Jesus do it. We don't see him questioning Jesus. We don't see him backing away. We don't see him being germophobic. We see him standing there and allowing Jesus to put this on his eyes. And then he goes and he washes his eyes and he comes back seeing. He comes back seeing. Oh my goodness, when he went to wash his eyes, he could not even see where he was going. He had to memorize the steps. But on the way back, he was looking. He was looking and he was seeing a miracle that has never been in the history of man. No person born blind had ever been able to see. No prophet ever performed this miracle. No one had performed this miracle. And Jesus does. He does the works of God. He is a creator. Listen, now he's healed. He sees and the neighbors see him and all of those around him. They're saying, well, I think that's him. It looks like him. I've seen him by the road. I'm not sure if this is him, but I think that's him. It looks like him. They ask, how are your eyes open? This is his first opportunity to give glory to God. It will not be his last. And he said, a man called Jesus healed me. So then they take him to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they take him in. And they brought him in. And they said, hey, this man was blind and now he sees. He was blind from birth and now he sees. And they said, how? It's on a Sabbath now. Oh my goodness, don't do it on a Sabbath. No mercy, no compassion in these religious leaders. How many religious leaders have not had compassion or mercy on you because it was what they considered out of order? Jesus did things out of order for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but not out of order for God. This was God's order. This was God's way. And so they say, how do you see? And so he tells them everything that Jesus did. He said, this man must be a prophet. He's a prophet. Now he's not a man in front of the Pharisees. His revelation of Jesus has gone from a man to a prophet. And they call him a sinner. They call him a sinner. Remember in the other message, the weepers and the wailers, they ridiculed him. And now the Pharisees are calling Jesus a sinner. He opened this blind man's eyes and they called him a sinner. And so he goes from that. They argue with him. They call his parents in. His parents don't even want to have any part of this. They don't want to get kicked out of the religious system. The neighbors don't want to get kicked out of the religious system. And so the Pharisees have already determined if anybody declares anything about Jesus as being the Messiah, the Son of God, that they will be excommunicated. They will be kicked out of the church. And they will be shunned along with that. And they are calling him a sinner. They want this man to call him a sinner. They ask him one more time. And so the third time, he said, let me tell you what. This man is a worshiper of God because God does not hear sinners. And nothing like this has ever been done since the world began. If God did not hear this man, he could do nothing. And so they cast him out. Listen, sometimes you've got to be cast out away from all of those who are calling Jesus a sinner and those who have seen the miracles but yet will not testify. What will you be? What will you be when God heals you? When you see God heal one of your sisters, will you say, oh, he is Lord, he is the Son of God? This is what happens now. He's cast out. So Jesus comes to him. When you get away from those, when God has done a work in your life and you get away from those who want to ridicule Jesus, they want to call him a sinner, and when they've even seen a miracle, they are too afraid to say anything. And Jesus comes and he says, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, it's me. Paraphrase, Maggie paraphrase. He said, it's me. He said, I believe, Lord, I believe. And he fell and he worshiped him. If Jesus were not God, he would not receive worship. He received worship. And when they ask you, I know that you've had this terminal illness. I know that the doctor said there's nothing that they can do, that all they can do is just keep adding medication because there's no healing for you. Once you're diagnosed with this, you always have this. Oh, well, this depression will be with you for the rest of your life and it will only get worse. Oh, all of these things. No, 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 no. God has ordained a time for us to come. This is your preparation time. Pull aside, pull yourself aside and hear the voice of God on this. Hear the voice of God on this. This man goes from thinking that he is a man to he is the Son of Man. We cannot come together for our healing event looking at our limitations. We need to look to the one who has no limitations. Listen, if you go through scripture, I've done this so many times. Jesus healed everyone who came to him. He healed everyone that was brought to him. He healed everyone who cried out to him. Jesus delivered from demons. Jesus gave people right minds. Listen, don't think it's just about having your eyes opened if you're blind, but he gave people their right mind who had been tormented by the devil. Listen, people today, more than anything else in this world, are tormented with fear. Fear is the number one sickness in the world today. Fear drives people. Not only that, let me tell you what. Jesus lifted and healed women from shame. There is a healing that needs to take place in women from shame. We have been shamed. We have done things that brought shame upon us, and then we have been called names that has brought shame upon us. We have been ridiculed that has brought shame upon us. We do not look like this world says that we should look or behave or have or dress. And so that in itself has caused shame. And God, listen, lifts women up out of that. I'm not trying to be a women's rights advocate. I am not a liberal. I am telling you the word of God. Men have shame. But God is speaking to the women right now. If this applies to the men, let them grab hold of this. Jesus went and he healed the untouchable, the unapproachable leper. Do you feel like you're untouchable, unapproachable? Do you feel like you're a leper? Jesus is the healer of lepers. He raised the dead. He went. Some didn't even ask. But out of his just overwhelming compassion, seeing the need, stepped in. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, listen to this. Allow him to come and to penetrate your heart, that he may work in your spirit, to build up your spirit, to build up your faith and your belief in him, that he would cast out the fear from you, that you are not worried about what someone else will think of you when you go to Jesus, and you will not be afraid to testify. Listen, Jesus even knows if we will give him glory afterwards. He knows that, and he knows whether you'll give him glory to receive benefits from it. I want you to stop and think about all the books have been written and all the money that's been gained out of people giving their testimony. Freely they received that from the Lord, and they have charged for it a fortune. This is not positive thinking, folks. Listen to me. Positive thinking does nothing. Faith and belief and hope in our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth. He is the one. Do not believe the lie that says that healing is not for today, that you need to wait until you get to heaven. Do not believe the bad report. Do not believe those who would stand in the pulpit and discourage prayer and faith for healing. God does not work the same way. He didn't spit in everyone's eyes. We do not have a full account of everything that he did. John said that if everything he did and said was written down, that there are not enough books to contain it. So we know in those 3 years, listen, we only have a sampling. A sampling. It said multitudes came to him, and he healed every one of them. All of their stories are not recorded. They're just called a multitude. So let a multitude come Sunday, January the 6th, and believe. Let us press in. We come not with positive thinking, but we come to the same Jesus that is recorded here, the same Jesus that's on the throne today, the same Jesus that's coming back for us, and we press in, and by faith on our part and belief in him, we believe for healing. He is calling us to this healing event, handmaidens of the Lord. Amen and amen.